it is good to have you with us today. And man, I want to talk a little bit about encouragement today, because I do believe that many of us could use a little encouragement during this particular season, this particular time. Anybody need encouragement? Come on. Yeah. And the word encouragement, if you look it up, it means to inspire with courage. It means to inspire with spirit or confidence, to stimulate or to advance or spur someone on. And so today we're going to talk a little bit about how to be stimulated in our faith that we have in Jesus Christ, because the faith that we have put in Jesus Christ is for a grand purpose. It's not just to get us to heaven one day, but it's to help us live life, walk through this life, even though discouragement comes our way. We wouldn't need encouragement, would we, if we didn't have discouragement? And so the Bible says that there's an enemy of our soul that's trying to discourage us, hold us back from our God potential, keep us from living in the fullness of who God has created us to be as human beings. And today what I want us to do is learn as a family or a church how to bring encouragement to one another, to be encouragers, not to be discouragers. There's enough discouragement in the world without us. Come on. And so we want to be the people who bring encouragement in a discouraging season in people's life. If you have your Bibles with you today, I'm going to invite you to turn it to the book of 1 Thessalonians. And 1 Thessalonians is a letter written to one of the first churches that was ever started. It was started in Thessalonica by a man named Paul. He writes this letter back to encourage these people in their faith that they have found in Christ. Now, whenever he founded this church, it was founded of Jewish people, a lot like him. He was a Jewish man. And it was also made up of Jewish people and also Greek people. And in that particular culture, Caesar was the king. And now these people who had found Jesus was announcing that Jesus was the king. And so persecution came towards these people because Caesar didn't like other people saying that there was somebody else in charge. Great persecution came against this church. And these people began to wonder if their faith really, really mattered, and do they really need to keep pressing forward? And Paul wrote them this letter to just encourage them that, yes, your faith does matter, and don't you stop in spite of the culture. Don't you stop in spite of the circumstances. Don't you stop in spite of what is going on in the world around you. And I need you to know today, you church don't need to stop in spite of what's going on in the world around you. And so he wanted to remind them that though even some people had died physically, there would be a great resurrection and there would be something amazing happen. And though they were living physically, they needed to remember that, you know, that at some point in time, all of this was going to come to an end, and this King Jesus that they were worshiping, that this was going to really bring joy to their life. And so in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 10, he says this. He says, Christ died for us so that whether we are dead or alive, when he returns, we can live with him forever. So encourage. Everybody say encourage. Encourage. He says, encourage each other and build each other up just as you are already doing. Infuse this courage in each other. Build each other up just as you are already doing. And then he goes on in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 14, and he says this. He says, brothers and sisters, because he looked at life in Christ as a family. That's why he said brothers and sisters. In other words, Christ has united many of us together, and we are brothers and sisters. We are family. And he says, brothers and sisters, we urge you to warn those who are lazy. Warn those who are lazy, encourage those who are timid, encourage those who are timid, take tender care of those who are weak. Take tender care of those who are weak and be patient with everyone. And to be patient with everyone. So here he says, look, though things are going on, we need to learn to be patient with each other. And there's going to be some times that people are timid in not wanting to move forward with their faith. There's going to be other times that people are apathetic and they're just going to say, well, what the heck? I mean, if this is the way it is, then I'm just going to stay the same. He says, no, no, no. You tell those people, no, don't you stay the same. Get off your duff and let's get busy doing some stuff. Come on. Because God has called us out of darkness into the wonderful light, not to sit and watch a sermon, but to be a sermon to the world around us. Come on. And he says, what we need to do is learn to operate in our gift mix and encourage each other. And you know what? Whenever people are hurting, we need to take care of those who are weak. In other words, we need to begin to build strength back into them found in Christ Jesus. We're not to just say, hey, stay weak. No, no, no. Let's build your faith up so you can become strong again. And so we need to take care of each other. And so he goes on to talk about this throughout 1 Thessalonians. And the writer of Hebrews wrote it this way, Hebrews 10, verses 23 through 25. Says, let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep his promise. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return, Jesus' return, is drawing near. So according to this scripture and according to the whole counsel of God, it's really important for us to meet together. It's really important for us to gather together in order to encourage each other, to worship Jesus, the resurrection of Jesus, and what our faith rallies around, and to encourage each other to keep making this message about Christ known to the world with our various gift mix. And again, the enemy comes at us all. He comes at everyone who belongs to Christ Jesus. He don't let up. Don't be surprised when you are being attacked by the enemy. So many people say, well, you know, why is the enemy after me? Because you are carrying the goods of God. Come on. And you belong to God, and he hates what belongs to God, and he hates God himself. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that he wanted to be God so much. He had a jealous heart, and he wanted to be God, and he was cast out of the heavens. And now in the earth where God rules and reigns still, he wants to rule and reign, and he wants to take over your life and my life. And the best way he does it is with discouragement. Disappointment. Discouragement, you know, and again, we're to infuse courage in one another. So how do we live as a people of courage? How do we live as encouragers in this world and not discouragers? Is it continually telling everybody what they want to hear? That is not how you encourage people. That's how you enable people. And there's a big difference in being an encourager and an enabler. Sometimes people need to hear your life needs to change. You need to take on a new direction. I am here to love on you with great compassion. This church is here to love on you with great compassion because God's heart is a compassionate heart. But if you study the life of Jesus, even God in the flesh, when he was interacting with people on the earth, he didn't always tell them what they wanted to hear. He told them what they needed to hear. And he invited them to be transformed by the good word of God that existed among them. And again, God wants us to win in life, and life is a real battle in the heavenlies. There is a spiritual battle going on for your soul, and it is Christ Jesus that wins that battle for us, but we have to learn how to participate with him and follow his lead and be encouragers and encourage each other up and build each other up in the faith. And again, God doesn't want us just to enable each other. He wants us to empower each other. He wants us to help each other be built up in our faith. And so if we're going to do this, we need to learn to display certain things out of our life with the faith that we have in Christ Jesus. The first thing we need to learn to display as a church is that we have full confidence in God. We need to display confidence. Display that God will do what he says he's going to do. And I stand on the promises of God. In spite of what's going on in the world, God's gonna do what he says he's gonna do. And we stand on the promises of God in spite of the problems. We have full confidence that there is a better future out in front of us. I preach to you often that, you know what? There is still more to come. The best is still yet to come. It may seem bad today, but the best is still out in front of us because God is on the throne. And again, the enemy wants to create this darkness and this decay and this mindset of, you know, it's never going to get better. But we are on the journey with God. We're on the journey with God who is revealing who he is in this earth through us now, his church. And what we have to do is learn to display a confidence that there is a future and be faithful and live a life of faithfulness. And it says it this way in Hebrews 11, verses 1 and 2. It says, faith is the confidence. Everybody say confidence. It is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. It's confidence that what we are hoping for will actually happen. Not just hoping for some marshmallows tomorrow, but I'm talking about hoping that Christ is going to return, okay? And he's gonna do what he says he's gonna do, and he's gonna build up a family. Man, I got hope in that. No matter what goes on, I got hope that Christ is gonna return. And all evil is going to be put in the abyss, and I am gonna rule and reign with Christ forever and ever and ever in an eternal kingdom. I mean, I hope that nothing wrong happens this week, but my hope is in what the promise of God is, because the reality of it is that something can happen wrong this week, but it doesn't mean that God is not still going to do what he says he's gonna do, and my full confidence and faith is in who Christ Jesus says he is. He goes on to say this, through their faith, says the people in the days of old, they earned a good reputation. So it was through their confidence and hope in God that the people in the old, you know what, earned a good reputation with others around them. In other words, it was their confidence in the future that God had in store for them that gave them the reputation that they had in the world that they lived in. And so it's really important for us to understand that we are representatives. We are representatives of what God is doing. And the confidence level we stand with, in spite of the world falling apart around us, is truly a testimony of encouragement to those outside of the faith. The Bible goes on to say in Hebrews 11, verse 6, it is impossible to please God without faith, without confidence in him, okay? Anyone who wants to come to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who sincerely seek him. And so what does confidence in God look like? Well, simply put, it looks like obedience. Because if you really believe God is who he says he is and is going to do what he says he's gonna do, then you simply begin to obey his voice and follow him with your life. And again, that doesn't mean you're perfect. Slap your neighbor and say, you ain't perfect. Go ahead and get that out of your head. But what that does mean is you're coming underneath his leadership and you believe that his plan and his ways are higher than your ways. And you believe he is God. And you believe he is for you and not against you. And you believe that he wants to build you up here on earth and you to become everything he has designed you to be. He wants you to know that he has a future out in front of you in spite of what may happen to your life. That's why the writer Paul could say things like, oh, death, where is your sting? It's not that he had a death wish. He just simply understood that, you know what, the relationship he had with God exceeded physical death. And so he could live with a confidence in the face of the discourager, the enemy who was trying to discourage him. He could live with such confidence in that God is going to fulfill his promise that he would encourage those around him. In other words, he put action to his faith. Faith isn't something you just say. Faith is something you live in. It's something you embody. And again, a great example is this is a story that I've been telling for many, many years. It's a story that's kind of about a guy who decided to cross Niagara Falls on a tightrope. Charles Blondin is the guy's name in the story. And Charles Blondin decided, you know what, I'm going to walk across Niagara Falls on a tightrope and see how people respond to that. And people absolutely thought he was crazy. But he did it. And many people gathered on each side of Niagara Falls and began to cheer him on and say, you can do it, Blondin, you can do it, Blondin. And he gets to the other side. And all of a sudden, when he gets to the other side, he decides to put a blindfold around his eyes. He says, well, I did it once. Who believes I can walk back across this tightrope with this blindfold on? In other words, I won't be able to see. I'm going to be walking by faith. Who believes I can do that? Oh, Blondin, you can do it. You're amazing. You did it once. You can do it again. And so he walks back across Niagara Falls. And then he gets back to the other side. And when he gets back to the other side, he gets a wheelbarrow. Everybody know what a wheelbarrow is, right? It's a wheel on the front of something. You pick it up on the back. And he says, who believes that I can push this wheelbarrow back across the tightrope with my blindfold on and get to the other side? Oh, we believe, Blondin. You already done it once. You did it blindfolded again. And now we believe you can do it. And we put faith in you, Blondin, that you can do it again. He says, well, who wants to get in the wheelbarrow? And the crowd got deathly quiet. And what it showed was, well, they didn't have the faith that he could really do it because they didn't get in the wheelbarrow. And what God's asking you, my friend, is do you want to get in the wheelbarrow? Do you have confidence that he'll do what he says he's going to do? And will you put faith in him and get in the wheelbarrow and begin to let him roll you to the other side? And full confidence in God is saying, look, I am not putting faith in who I am. I'm putting faith in who Christ Jesus is, what he did, that he defeated death, he resurrected from the grave, and he is the way into God's family. I have full confidence in that. It's not what I do. It's not something else. I'm all in. I'm in the wheelbarrow. And Jesus, I have faith that you're gonna get me to the other side. It's what I put my faith in. So if we're gonna be encouragers, we have to live a life full of great, great confidence in God and who he says he is. We have to learn to display a confidence. We also have to learn to display God's amazing power. And so we've been talking about power. Pastor Richard talked about it a couple of weeks ago about God's power. Pastor Love God talked about God's power last week. But what does it mean to display God's power in your life? To depend on God's power and display God's power. Because it's really important because God does give it to us to operate with, but the book of Hebrews shows us how to display God's power. And it shows us this in Hebrews 11 verses 32 through 35 as it speaks about these people who had great faith. It says, the writer says, how much more do I need to say about these people? It would take too long to recount the stories of faith, the faith of many, many people, of Gideon, of Barak, of Samson, of Jephthah, of David, of Samuel, and all the prophets. By faith, these people overthrew kingdoms, they ruled with justice, and they received what God had promised them. They shut the mouths of lions, they quenched the flames of fire, and they escaped death by the edge of the sword. Their weakness was turned to strength. This is really important. Their weakness was turned to strength. In other words, when we read about their name, we hear about their strength. They escaped flames. They shut the mouths of lions. They did these great feats. They led armies. They did incredible things. But their weakness was turned to strength. They became strong in battle. In the battle. They came strong in the battle and they put whole armies to flight. Women received their loved ones back from the death. In other words, how they began to display God's power is they got in the battle in their weakness and God was able to become strong in spite of their weakness. Listen, some of us are like, when I get strong, when I get better. No. You want to see God's power begin to operate? Then in your weakness, step in the battle and see what God can do. And again, when he does it, he is the only explanation of the great power that came into your life. In other words, it is displaying the power of the living God because only he could do it and activate this in your weakness. And so, again, there's no power of God needed if there's no discouragement, no sickness, you know what, no pain, no adversary. There is no power needed. So don't be surprised when things come into your life that make you feel weak. And it's the opportunity for you to begin to display God's strength. And again, God will ultimately, you believe, in your heart, resurrect you from the dead. So in spite of your body becoming frail and weak, your faith is that God is going to heal you. Hopefully it could be now so you could continue to live days here in Christ on this earth. But if it's not, your confidence and your hope is in the resurrection of Jesus. Amen. Many, many years ago, my wife's grandfather, he's a man of great faith. And when I decided that God was calling me into vocational ministry, he was actually a retired minister at that particular time, and I began to talk to him about it. Just in a little small church, and he was retired. And again, but he just had a fabulous spirit about him. And you know, he was one of the greatest encouragers in my life early on. He's like, you know, if God's called you to it, you can do it. And he would just always, you know, how's it going? Do everything he could to build me up for my journey. And again, he realized I wasn't all that in a bag of chips. However, he was a great encourager. And he's like, with God's help, you can do it, and all these kind of things. He always told me what I needed to hear, not just what I wanted to hear. He talked about remaining faithful, talked about that a lot, okay? But his life displayed that in a powerful, powerful way. And in his latter years, he came down with cancer that began to take over his body. He was a pretty strong man, but as that cancer began to take over his body, his faith didn't dwindle, his faith increased. And what's amazing to me is though God didn't heal his body on this side of heaven, he never lost faith. I mean, people having to help him out of bed, do all the various things. He never lost faith in who God was through all of this sickness. I want you to know something today. It was in that adversary, though he was a great encourager, big, strong man, you know, a great, it was in that adversity, in him laying, you know what, in a place of total weakness that the greatest power of God showed up in a mighty, mighty way. Because he was able to remain faithful and display the power of God because he had endured a lot of things before. And so he could endure what was in his face as he was facing the future of eternity. And my friends, that spoke to his family, it spoke to the doctors, it spoke to me personally more than anything his life ever accomplished, the great feats that he accomplished with his life. It was him being able to sit there and, you know what, profess who the power of God all the way to his last breath. And so what I want to encourage you in today is, you know what, you may feel weak in a situation or circumstance. Maybe the enemy's attacking your family, but you stay strong. I know you're weak. I know you're frail. But at the end of the day, God will give you the power to get through it. And he will display and honor his name through it all. You stay faithful. You don't give up. You don't quit. You don't throw in the towel. And so the greatest way to begin to display God's power is when the greatest points of adversity come against us. And again, there is no doctors needed. But I can tell you right now that the people who shut the mouths of lions, it wasn't that they dreamed about shutting the mouths of lions. It's just simply, you know what, whenever they had to shut the mouths of lions, God gave them the power to do it, but they felt mighty weak in the face of the lion about to eat them. And again, we will feel weak and we will feel frail when life is about to eat us, when it's about roaring, but we have to stand firm on the foundation that God has given us in Christ Jesus. This is what it means to have a rock solid foundation in Jesus. It means that he is the foundation of everything. No matter how much this world shakes, he is the foundation of your faith. And I know the world is shaking around us, but in order to display the power of God, the world has to shake. And as the world shakes, God's power begins to show up more and more and more and more if his people remain faithful. The Bible has a lot to say about remaining faithful, remaining in Christ. Again and again, people are like, well, can I lose my salvation? Just stop stressing over all that and have faith in Christ Jesus. And let him build your faith up, strengthen your faith. And how you do this is you participate with his plan. And his plan in this earth is through the local church. And he has gifted each and every one of you in Christ Jesus to do something with your life. And you have to engage and you have to have full confidence that God wants to use you to get involved. If not, the enemy will isolate you, discourage you, and eat you for lunch if you choose to be by yourself. You are not to live in isolation. And again, in order to see God's power operate, guess what? He ain't gonna just operate powerfully in your life. He's gonna operate powerfully through his people. And again, he gifts each and every one of us in a different way. And a lot of times the reason we are getting devoured by the enemy is because we choose to isolate ourselves away from God's power actively working through his gifts of the local church. And I'm inviting you to just step in. It takes faith to step in. It takes courage to step in. But again, God's inviting you in to doing what he is doing in the earth. And again, how he is going to build us up is through the local church. The last thing I wrote down about being great encouragers is not only display God's power, but also display endurance. And I spoke to this just a second ago. Faithfulness. Remain faithful. The Apostle Paul said, look, I've remained faithful. I finished the work that God gave me. I finished the race of life. I've remained faithful. Now I'm expecting the reward. And again, God's calling his church in this day and age to remain committed and remain faithful. I really do believe the reason some people have not endured certain things in their life is simply because they don't stay committed. And honestly, endurance is something that's built. It's not just given to you. You have to build endurance to run any race. And how you build endurance is you show up over and over again. You know, I built endurance in my lung capacity whenever I played sports by running wind sprints in practice. In other words, I could play in the fourth quarter of a football game because I built endurance in practice all year long running wind sprints and doing something I didn't like to do. And a lot of people are like, well, I don't like that. Well, let me tell you something. If you like everything you do, your endurance level is not going to get built up in such a way. And God asks us to do some things sometimes we may not personally like to do in our flesh. But it's because the flesh is contrary to the Spirit of the living God working in you, and the Spirit of the living God is putting life in you, and the flesh is killing you. And the truth of the matter is so many people today don't realize that endurance has to be built. It's through trusting, and it's through training over and over again. Consistency over and over again. Stay in the course over and over again. Look what it says here in Hebrews 11 verses 35 through 38. It says, continue on with those people of great faith. It says this, others were tortured, refusing to turn from God in order to be set free. They placed their hope in the better life after the resurrection. Some were jeered at and their backs were cut open with whips. Others were chained in prison. Some died by stoning. Some were sawed in half, and others were killed with the sword. Some went about wearing skins of sheep and goats, destitute and oppressed and mistreated. They were too good for this world, wandering over deserts and mountains, hiding in caves and holes and in the ground. And when I read this, I'm like, dude, that sounds terrible. Who wants that in their life? This is horrible. I mean, how could these people go through such adversity? And again, if God's so good, I begin to ask all the questions you have, then why does these things happen to people? And it's simply because their endurance level has been built up in such a way, and their worldview is different from the mindset of most people's worldview. In other words, they're thinking, it says here, about the future. It says that they place their hope in a better life after the resurrection. And so they're thinking about the future. They're thinking about what will come in the future. So they were able to endure these difficult moments and these trying times. And again, I don't invite any kind of pain into my life or anybody else's life, but we have to understand that oftentimes that pain is there to help us build endurance for the journey of faith. And we can't quit on the journey. We have to have endurance. I really do believe that whenever this horrific pandemic happened in our world the last couple years, it began to suck the life, literally, the spiritual life out of people. And again, we all begin to be respectful of one another. We begin to obey the stay-at-home orders and do all these various things. But, you know, what happened when people stopped gathering together and, you know, beginning to, we worshiped online. We've done all that as a church. We created that. Okay, worship online, get involved with us. I mean, we're gonna still meet together the best we can and on the screen, do all those kind of things. But when people stop gathering together and they become, you know what, isolated in their own world, then what we watch is a lot of people begin to fade. Even my own journey began to fade. And I had to make a decision of look, am I going to commit myself back to God? Because it's a lot easier to stay at home. I can tell you right now, it's a lot easier to just watch church online. It's a lot easier to just, you know, sit on the couch and say, oh, I get it next week. But what I began to discover is I needed you. And you need me. And man, you know, I've watched the enemy through all this process wreck families. I've watched the enemy, people drift, go in the wrong direction, you know, head down the wrong path. And honestly, it's time for the church to begin being the church again. And we start gathering ourselves together, not to tear each other down, but to build one another up in our faith and challenge one another to let's endure this thing. Let's stick with it. Let's, you know, be faithful to the end. Let's be the shining light in the world when the world's falling apart, and let's not give up. But my friends, I want you to know today, me as the pastor of this church, I need you. Well, people say, well, do you really care if I show up? Absolutely. Because it encourages me when you're using your gifts and you're showing up. And I hope for some reason I encourage you. But I need you. Other people need you. You need us. Because God designed it that way. And my friends, I would love today to just challenge you to make a commitment. To not let the enemy take over your life and begin to isolate you, and you become apathetic, you become lazy in your good doing. The Bible says, do not grow weary in doing good. And my friends, we begin to grow weary in doing good when we sit alone and we make it about us, and we don't gather together and make it about Jesus. I need you to know Jesus is for you. But he wants you to gather together, and he wants you and me to be in our community living out a Christ-centered life. Not a perfect life. We're not a bunch of people here that's a bunch of religious zealots that's condemning things. The Bible says there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. But at the end of the day, we're not about just kind of going off in your own direction, living your own life and being isolated. My friends, we need each other. This is the truth of God's word. And we need to rally around a resurrected Jesus. We need the community to come to know who Jesus is. And again, it's not about us four and no more. It's about double stacking the chairs in here. Yeah. It's about getting back to doing 5 services a weekend. It's about, you know what, stepping it up over and over and over again. And so I'm encouraging you to be encouraged. And let's, you know what, reach out and be devoted to doing what God has called us to do in this community. It's to build his church. Yes, Jesus is building his church, but he's building it through his people. We are the stones. We are the blocks. We are the living stones. And those living stones are to gather and begin to expose the world to who Christ is. And again, if that's the kind of church home and the kind of faith that you desire, I want you to know we'll be here and we're going to encourage you. Because we're going to do the best we can to encourage one another on this journey. Young, old, doesn't matter what color you are, doesn't matter you're male or female, we want to encourage you to be all Christ Jesus has called you to be. Let me pray for you today. God, I pray for our faith. That God, we would have endurance, we would have strength, we would operate in your power. We'd have full confidence that you're going to do what you said you're going to do. And God, as we look around and some things begin to fall apart around us, God, I pray that we would see your powerful hand. God, we would see how you begin to weed the garden, so to say. And so your church can flourish, your church can grow. And so God, I pray that you would trim the edges of our heart so we may be able to flourish with fruitfulness with our life. God, would you cut away disbelief? Would you cut away discouragement? Would you cut away things that hold us back from our future? And God, let us be a church that's on the move. Let us be a church that's valorous, that's brave with your goodness and your strength and your courage. And God, help us step into it and be everything you have created us to be. Jesus, we thank you for the cross. We thank you for the resurrection. We thank you for life eternal that's only found in you. And our faith starts with that foundation. And my friend, if you have never put your faith in the finished work of Christ on a cross and his resurrection, it's about becoming alive in Christ Jesus, alive with a vision and a purpose for life. And my friends, if you've never done that, just ask Jesus into your heart. Say, God, today I surrender. I turn away from doing life my way and I turn my heart towards you for forgiveness and to do life your way. Invite the Spirit of God to come live in you. And say, I want to submit to you. I want to obey you. I want to follow you. And I want to be a part of what you're doing in the world. Tell God, thank you for that gift. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.